This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and time for a checkup. A new face in here, and I'm glad to meet this man, Ron Olmsted, veteran peer specialist and member of the Alta Point Homeless Outreach Team. Good to see you.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
And good to meet you as well. We were talking a little bit during the news break there, and your service to our country. I like some of my buddies, you said you were 18 when you arrived at boot camp or turned 18 at boot camp?
Yes, sir. My 18th birthday was my first day at boot camp.
Wow, happy 18th birthday.
It was a little startling. It was a bit of a culture shock. And yeah, I signed up for 6 years, and I did 23 extra on top of that.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it.
As an American, thank you very much. You served in what branch?
The Navy.
Navy. All right. Very good. There's a lot of, you'll get a lot of cheers here. A lot of Navy folks listen to it. Talk to me about what you're doing with Alta Point, the Homeless Outreach Team. What is that?
Okay, so the Homeless Outreach Team, it's a new component that was formed last summer. It's a incorporation, Mobile Police Department and Alta Point. The primary in the field component is myself and a Mobile police officer named Justin Howard. And the two of us are dedicated Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, to try to reach as many people as we can in the city of Mobile who are unsheltered and learn their stories, learn their needs, and then try to connect them with as many resources as we can. And that could be anything from healthcare, obtaining identification, providing transportation, assistance with Social Security benefits, mental health assistance, obviously, food pantries, and of course, homeless shelters.
What is the number one need when you talk to these folks that they have? Is it ID? Is it that shelter for the night? What's like in the triage list? What's number one?
Well, I think there's a difference between a need,
okay,
and a want. They certainly need warm clothes, a reliable shelter that's safe, and food in their bellies. But they also absolutely need identification to take that first step. You cannot apply for a job, or you cannot apply for an apartment without any form of identification.
I mean, so there's how many of these people that are there that you come up to and they have no ID at all? I mean, not even expired. I mean, is it like take an expired ID, get renewed, or hey, Ron, I don't have anything.
95% of the people that I encounter have nothing.
It's 95%.
In my world, you're a unicorn if you can show me a driver's license. There's no doubt about that.
You see me trying to pick my jaw up off the floor? 95%.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a job or anything.
And I don't think that the average citizen can understand the insurmountable task for someone who lives in a tent or under a bridge or in the woods to go online and make an appointment with myssa.gov to go down to the health department to try to apply for a birth certificate, or to try to go to the DMV to get a driver's license, because you need one to get the other and you need two to get the third. And it's a pretty vicious cycle they get caught in. And it's something you and I take for granted.
Sure.
We jump on our phone and make an appointment and we're there in 30 minutes and we're out the door. It's not even feasible for them to attempt that.
Yeah, but just think about if you lose your ID. You lose your ID. Now you still have everything in the records, but how that makes you feel. And these people don't have the ID nor the records to back it up. So you've picked a challenging thing to do here, Ron, as an ombudsman for these folks. Where do you start with that?
All right. That's a great question. I'm actually glad you asked, because it's like solving the Rubik's Cube in the dark underwater, I guess, if you want to look at it in some perspective.
Right.
We finally realized after a couple of months of just beating on doors and begging for people to listen to us that the Social Security offices will take a signed medical document as a form of ID as long as it's not for an immunization and it's within the last 12 months. So the first step is to get them to the healthcare for the homeless, Franklin Primary, for a wellness checkup.
Two birds, one stone here.
It's a good deal for them regardless.
Yes.
So they get their medication and they get a wellness checkup. I can then take them with that document to the Social Security office. I can sweet talk the security guards to letting me bring somebody in without an appointment. And then we just get them a Social Security card. That's step one. I typically have to have it mailed to Alta Point. It comes to me 7 to 14 days. I have to go find them.
Wow, I didn't think about that.
Time for step two.
Yeah, they don't have a mailbox to drop that to.
They have nothing. They don't have a mailing address, a phone. They're literally resourceless, and they can't even prioritize what we're talking about because it's so far down the list of things that they need to survive the day.
Yeah, the hierarchy of needs, like that we all learned, ID, even though it's crucial, all these things, was not listed, you know, anywhere in the hierarchy of needs,
That's
even
right.
though that ID gets you those things.
You're absolutely correct.
Wow.
So step two is usually a birth certificate, and if they're from Alabama, we can take them to the health department. First, we take them to the waterfront rescue mission to get them a picture ID.
Okay.
They sign in for day services. They'll get a waterfront ID. Your waterfront ID plus your Social Security card with an immunization record. If you've ever had an immunization in the state of Alabama, the health department will have that on file. Those two pieces of ID get you a health record signed by the health department. Those three pieces of information documentation will then get you to the next window where you can apply for your birth certificate. With $10, you walk out the door with that. Now you're pretty close to the finish line. You just basically need $45 and a ride to the DMV to get your driver's
license. How the heck, without you and your team, how the heck is somebody supposed to navigate that?
They don't. No, I can tell you right now, one of our biggest success stories that Justin and I can brag about is Miss Carol. We met Miss Carol. She had just lost her purse. A lot of folks in town know who she is. Very sweet lady. She lost everything. All her money, her food stamp debit card, her Social Security debit card, her food stamp card, her driver's license, you name it, it's gone. So we made a few phone calls, got the cards frozen and reissued, got her through that process I just explained to you, you know, got her medicines and her wellness checkup, got her ID and everything. And then to top all that off, we were actually able to get her a free cell phone. So that was good. We actually got Miss Carol reinstated as a human, if you will. You know,
right.
She now had some identity.
Yes.
But now she's still unsheltered. You know, she's on the waiting
list. Yeah, but it sounds like if you didn't do that, she wouldn't be where she is and trying to find shelter.
Correct. She had no access to her Social Security money. She had no access to her food stamp money. And just, again, this is hers. This is her money. And this is not an uncommon situation.
They lose
their
this.
Debit card and they lose their benefit money and they just don't have access to it. There's another gentleman we helped who probably has 6 months worth of Social Security checks piled up because he just didn't know where to start. He didn't know where to start to reengage in his benefits. So it's amazing how people just think that a homeless person needs a blanket or a hamburger, and that's not what they need. They need the resources to reestablish themselves as, you know, citizens of the United States.
Right.
And get back on the map.
But you realize that the majority of us, maybe 95% of us that aren't homeless, are ignorant to that.
I was blown away.
Okay.
I'll be 100% honest with you. When I first started peeling the onion back on this, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I was fascinated with the challenges because I never had thought about it.
Yeah, I had neither.
But I embraced those challenges, and I literally said, hey, this is our problem to solve. You know, we're not the only organization in the city that's trying to do this, but we're the ones who are really, you know, Justin and I, we get after it. You know, we're in that car hitting these streets for a full workday trying to solve these problems that are very challenging.
Yeah, and you have to because there's no mass mailing that can go out. There's no mass email that can go out. It's one at a time the way you're right. describing this.
And every situation's unique. There is not a one-size-fits-all solution to the homeless problem in general. Everyone's got a story. Everyone's got a unique background, a unique set of needs, desires, hopes, goals, and dreams. They're people, too. You know, you have to realize that first and foremost, they deserve our compassion and our empathy. And you can't just wave your magic wand and make the problem go away. You can't throw money at it. You have to attack it one person at a time.
Well, and a lot of people do think, you know, throw money at it. If I give to this shelter or I give this person, that individual, a hamburger, I've done something. But it sounds like it's way more complex than that.
Super complex. And, you know, that kind of one of the resources I think that Justin and I would really like to be able to tap into in the city is the social media aspect of homeless support. There's a lot of great people in the city. There's a lot of people who are just loving and willing to give their time and resources. they don't know how and they don't know what to give. So if we can sort of navigate some of the bureaucracy of the organizations that we work for and perhaps plug into some of the existing groups on Facebook, we can get things done a lot faster and we can reach out to a mass audience, not necessarily of unsheltered people, but of people willing to support them. And I give you a great for example. Just yesterday, we got a call. There was a girl getting kicked out of a hotel here just down the street from you guys, the Family Inn. Mm-hmm. So she's living in a car. Her car wasn't running. Well, we got her to Franklin. We got her a COVID test. We got her to McKimmie. So she's in a shelter now. She's in a stable, safe environment. However, her car is still sitting in that hotel parking lot. I went on Facebook to the Homeless in Mobile group, and I said, hey, this is the situation. Is there anybody out there who knows of a low-cost or pro bono tow truck who can scoop this girl's car up and bring it to McKimmie or bring it somewhere so it doesn't get impounded? And I haven't got my post approved yet through the administrators, and that's time sensitive. You know, there's a lot of that stuff we could tap into and utilize the community for, I think, because there's a lot of people who would jump on that one. You know,
no, 100%. What you're saying is validated through things my listeners do. If you give somebody a specific thing they can do to help and it's local, it's amazing to see the response. You know, sometimes things get so macro that, oh, we're going to help everybody at one time and this and that. But if you say, here's Sean or here's Ron, they need this help and they're here in Mobile. People, if you can have somebody like you say, here's how you help, they'll step up and help.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. And that's hopefully, you know, on the horizon for us in the very near future, for us to be able to do that, to be able to broadcast to a larger audience. Like, hey, we encountered this individual with a specific need. Who can step up and fulfill that need?
No, I think you'll see that in community. And having somebody like you as a navigator for that is a great thing for our community and obviously for those homeless folks out there. They want to get in touch with you, continue this conversation, talk with you about somebody they're trying to get into. This, you know, hey, I know this person. They're down the street from here, whatever. How do they reach out to you? Just Alta Point directly or ask for you when they call Alta Point? What do they do?
They can call the crisis center and ask to speak to me personally. They can call the non-emergency number for Mobile PD and asked to speak to the homeless outreach officer, Officer Justin Howard. If they call Alta Point and ask for the crisis response team, they might get in touch with me. They might not. I have a direct cell phone number that, you know, I carry around with me every day.
But it's something that to reach out to Alta Point to say, there's a person that I know. I see them, they're behind this building or they're in this place or they're, you know, their car's, you know, sitting there waiting, you know, they need to move. That's a way somebody can say, hey, heads up, here's somebody.
Sure can. And, you know, a small portion, maybe 20 to 30% of the outreach that we do comes directly from a concerned citizen phone call to the mayor's office. And that trickles down through that side of the team, that trickles down through Kendall Young to us.
Yeah.
And we'll go respond to a concerned citizen or we'll respond to a nuisance situation. And at the public library and the public parks especially, we're pretty intimately, you know, familiar with their protocols. We actually had a meeting with the public library to explain to them the difference, you know, between an emergency situation and a human being in crisis that can be de-escalated and end up with helping them and not arresting them.
Right.
We would love to see all these people get the resources and not spend the night in Metro.
100%.
Because most of them don't know what they're doing is wrong or they don't have any other options. So the information's out there and they can get a hold of us via the city or via Alta Point.
Good stuff. Godspeed on your work, Ron, man. Awesome stuff.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Our guest today, Ron Olmsted, veteran peer specialist and member of the Alta Point Homeless Outreach Team.